comes from reading Introduction to Vedanta by Swami Dayananda. He talks there at considerable length in the chapter on the teacher, I think it is, about the power of words to liberate, knowledge to liberate. And I really, although I can appreciate the logic of it, I don't really understand it. I don't really see how you, for example, telling me that I...
You're Brahman, you're the whole.
...is really ever going to liberate me, even with an ever subtler understanding.
It's not going to liberate you. It's going to make you see what liberation is. It's going to make you understand what liberation is.
Okay. But will that understanding be merely intellectual?
When you say cognitive, it's understanding. Understanding is intellectual. We don't need to say intellectual understanding.
Okay, okay. It gives the example of a jackfruit in this book, of a man being, well, I'm sure you know the example, I didn't go through it, but when the man is told that the fruit he's eating is jackfruit, and then he simply has a name to connect to the experience that he's got. Is this what he's meant? In other words, put the question differently, do I have to have the experience first and then be informed of it?
Does Swami use the word jackfruit there?
The example was given of jackfruit is saying there's this paroksha and aparoksha. And so somebody can describe the jackfruit and then you have a very, very good idea. And then you're sitting there eating the jackfruit and then someone says, that's a jackfruit. And you say, so this is the jackfruit. So the first one you have is paroksha and then the second is aparoksha.
Yeah.
But the second one was brought about by telling you this is the jackfruit which you've already heard about.
So you already know. Instead of saying heard about, what you already know.
What you already know.
No. See, actually, the aparoksha jnanam, you say paroksha, this is, we say direct knowledge, indirect knowledge, and immediate knowledge.
That's it.
When it's immediate, yeah, that's why I had to use the word to mean aparoksha, I had to use the word immediate knowledge. Paroksha, okay, pratyaksha, pratyaksha jnanam. Pratyaksha means it is direct perception, you see. I see. Okay, see, Mahadeva is wearing black color cardigan. You say, all of us see, it is pratyaksha jnanam. Pratyaksha. But Vedikama didn't come. I tell her the phone. Okay, Madhima has come here, Chandama has come here, Ardaji has come here. You know, Madhima is wearing the green, black color cardigan. So she knows Madhima's face, so she can imagine how it is. She doesn't see directly, but she has a paroksha jnana, indirect knowledge. So direct knowledge, indirect knowledge. But aparoksha jnana, so pratyaksham is direct, paroksham is indirect. Aparoksham, not indirect, nor is it direct, it is immediate. So what is perceived is different from the perceiver directly. Then you can say the perceiver has the direct knowledge of the perceived. The perceiver has the indirect knowledge of the perceived. Okay? But that the perceiver has the knowledge of himself is immediate.
There's no object of this knowledge.
Yeah. Okay? Yeah. The knowledge of the perceiver. Understand? That is immediate knowledge. And then that's why when you say, okay, the mind knows all about the world. The mind has the capacity, see. That's why we say mind also Hiranyagarbha, supposed to say. Okay? Mind also forms the Hiranyaka, mind is, so mind has all the capacities, Ichcha Shakti, Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti, you know, all these, there, all the capacities are what? Subtle manifestations. So here, the mind can really penetrate and think and think and think, it can know. It has the capacity to know. So knowing is discovering. It is possible. So anything other than itself, like when the mind tries to know, then the knowledge of anything other than, okay, the knower itself, then it is an object, okay? The knowledge of that object, anything other than the mind, is what? Other than itself, other than the knower, is direct or indirect knowledge. But the, when there's also, again, vritti, okay? Vritti arises. Knowledge of anything arises from vritti. But when the mind, when this understanding, the knowledge of the very truth of the mind, that knowledge which arises as the vritti is what? Immediate knowledge. Aparoksha jnanam. Knowledge of anything arises in the form of a thought, vritti, antahkarna vritti. Okay, it's called vritti jnanam. So the vritti jnanam of any object can be direct knowledge or indirect knowledge. It cannot be immediate knowledge. But the knowledge of the truth of the mind is what? Knowledge of its own self is also arises in the form of a thought, antakana vritti, which is immediate knowledge. Why? What is immediate to the wave? Water. Knowledge on the part of the wave about the immediate self is what? This is upasa, this is samasa. We say knowledge of the immediate is immediate knowledge. Immediate vastu. Immediacy.
Because it's natural, presumably. But it's...
Is it possible? That's what you want to ask.
No, I said because presumably...
Is it intellectual?
It's natural. It's immediate because it's natural.
Yeah. Now, immediacy means what? Because there's no distance.
Yes. Yes, I see all that. But what's the relationship with...
Here the word means the distancelessness is impaired by the word immediate.
Yeah, right.
Immediacy. Mm.
Just in the book, it seems that Swami Dayananda is saying that words can bring about this immediate knowledge, just as words can bring about the aparoksha and the paroksha.
Aparoksha jnana.
Yes.
The word is a shabda pramanam. Vedanta Shabda, when it is handled properly, should result in aparoksha jnanam. Why? Because
that isn't immediate.
Immediate.
Oh, is it? I'm sorry.
Aparoksha jnanam. Why that you aparoksham? It is not paroksha. It cannot be for available for pratyaksha. Because why? It is not different from you. Okay? Which is available as anything other than you, then it is object, it is not subject. That, okay, so it must be paroksha or pratyaksha. But I have to use something else for that. So, aparoksha, na paroksha is aparoksha. Nyayam, okay, that pushes up. So, aparoksha jnana. Say that. So, how? Suppose, for example, neti neti vachana, you say example, just how? Suppose you say, okay, it says, na, idam na, idam na, idam na, not this, this is not, because object of knowledge, this is not the subject. Because it is known, it is an object of knowledge, it is not a subject. This is an object of knowledge, it is not. You don't say this is the subject. To arrive at what a subject is, you have to negate all the objects as na. Na, idam na. This is how shabda, and as it is taught, you understand. Understanding takes place, isn't it? Isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, this is how, that's why we say shaka, chandana, and all those things, we use that. is just systematically taking you. That's why it's called Upanishad. Upanayati Satyam Prati. Understand? It takes you. You will say that it leads you to the truth. How does it lead you? I was very pleased to know, I saw a board in the airport, Holland, no? Whatever is the goal, no? For any goal, someone, you know, someone, you require to show the way. I saw that board. Yeah. And then I saw one big driver showing how to drive, and I saw one person sitting on a computer. Something. Even for any goal, you need someone to show. Even for any ordinary goal, you need someone to show. Understand? Here, even if you know, if you have the goal, you know the way, you need the way to go, attain the goal here. But here, you don't know that there's a goal. The goal has to be shown. Then the means to attain the goal also has to be shown.
So Shabda shows the goal.
Shabda doesn't show the goal. Shabda results in immediate knowledge as is communicated. That is why communication is very important. Shastra teaching means one who plays the role of a guru should, not a guru means, I don't say, don't have the big words on that. The teacher, okay. And the teacher, and definitely he or she should have clarity, capacity to communicate. Communication should transfer the clarity, then that is when the words are unfolded, the meaning of the words should be available as the what? Immediate self. That is what we say, immediate jnana. Immediate. It's not, you understand here, as you are listening, it should click really. It will, but still we forget because of our the habitual error and all those things. Afterwards you get to recollect what has been heard and understood. Because you don't understand. You can't say you don't understand at all. You do understand, but you do, because you again you it just okay, you don't forget it also, but still you don't really remember it all the time.
You make it sound as though the knowledge has to be ignited somewhere, as though the knowledge comes from outside and ignites what you already know.
Again, what is igniting knowledge?
Like
knowledge ignites everything,
right?
Knowledge cannot be ignited, really speaking. Our President Abdul Kalam likes that, ignite mind something. Anyway, that is very, very interesting. Thing that knowledge of the immediate vastu, which is yourself, okay, where there's no distance, as the knower known difference is not there, and then it is immediate knowledge. That is why we say the difference with contemplation and meditation. If there is meditator, meditated. No, difference is there. It's meditation, is said. Yeah. But where there's no difference between the meditator and the meditated upon, then it is contemplation. Because, okay, what the attention of the mind is focused on is the very, very vastu, the existence of the meditator. We call it contemplation. So, the contemplation. And so when you're in the class and you listen to the teacher when it unfolds, okay, and you see the meaning of the word, the class, that's what is called unfoldment. It's not a description. Yeah. Yeah. Upanishads do not, whether we don't really explain, we don't explain the words. See, we can't do that. Explaining, how can I explain? I don't confuse you, okay, it's not Purana to explain. It's not explained. It is not interpreted, it's not described, it's unfolded. Okay, because the word doesn't convey something. Satyam, Satyam Brahma, when you say, so anything which is asat, not asat, okay, mithya, is not Brahma. That is what. Satyam alone is Brahman. Anything which is not Satyam is not Brahma. That word says. That means, what is mithya, okay, what is Satyam, this alone is the Satyam. So everything is mithya. So anything you see is mithya is not Brahman. Brahman is not anything which is mithya. Similarly, jnanam Brahma. That's it. So that word unfold now, the meaning of the word jnanam. How knowledge is the nature of reality. Knowing is the very sarupam of consciousness. And now, jnanam Brahma. Okay, Brahman, the word, implies Shuddha Chaitanyam, consciousness. We have our own reasons why consciousness is indicated by the word Brahman. There's a different thing. It's like jnanam Brahma. Knowledge is consciousness. So the reality, reality is of the nature of knowing. No? It is the very nature. So the reality, that knowledge, when it is undifferentiated, okay, the knowledge it is not identified. The reality must identify with the knowledge. That is Shuddha Chaitanyam. Knowledge identified is what? Then it's ready for it can call creator. So the knowledge, how it is knowledge? Knowing is very surupam. So just reality is there as pure consciousness, pure awareness or pure knowledge. How pure knowledge is not the vritti, because our understanding of knowledge is the antakarna vritti. Knowing is a new, that is, we are not very clear, okay? Okay, knowledge of anything is what? Just a thought modification. But what is a pure knowledge? Shuddham, shuddham, jnana swarupam, chaitanyam. Okay, pure, as you said, pure. The adjective pure, really, the Shastra doesn't say, the Shastra also uses the word shuddha. Pure consciousness, pure awareness, pure knowledge. We use all these terms to mean shuddha chaitanyam, which is Brahma, which is otherwise known as Brahma, Brahman. How it is? So that because of which any knowledge is possible. Without which no knowledge is possible. So without the knowledge of which the known is not possible.
So it's a kind of knowingness. Which is the ground of knowledge.
That's what I'm saying. The person say, in the class I used the word, prakashakatvat, no, sarvam prakashayat. See, suryasya prakashayana sarvam prakashate, or prakashitam bhavati. Everything becomes illumined, everything shines because of the light of the sun. When you say, what does it mean? Sunlight alone, okay, the sunlight which shines as everything. Because otherwise nothing can come. Similarly, we say, so jnana surupena sarvam jnatam bhavati. I use the same word. See, without being known, the object becomes as good as non-existent. For an object, even if it existent, to have the status of being an existent, it should be known. For the object to be known, the knowledge should take place. For the knowledge to take place, Understand? There must be knowledge, the source of knowledge. So that without which no knowledge is possible, without which knowing is not possible, without which known is not possible, okay, that is the Jagat Trata, Jagat Dhata, Jagat Karta, Jagat Harta. Understand? We said that. So, let us say, it's called unfoldment, isn't it?
Is it fair to say that we experience this to some extent every day? When we really hear someone speaking, when we really look at something, and the thought about the object the joining with the thought is so all-consuming. Like when you look at a beautiful image, a beautiful sunset perhaps, the thought, the experience is so all-consuming, you no longer have anything like the words beautiful or sunset. There is just the experience of the object, of perception. And so there's no thinking about it, no, there is just the pure perception. There's a kind of knowingness in which the concepts of objects are just resolved, if you want to use your favourite word. Is that a comparable situation where in real knowledge, in other words, there's no actual object, there's just the experience of the happiness of the object, just the experience of happiness. Is that right?
Every experience is happiness. Happiness is not experience. Nor is it experienced.
Okay.
But every experience is happiness.
Okay.
Why? Because every experience is Brahman.
But you see what I'm trying to say.
When you say happiness is experience, I can say Brahman is experienced. As I'm saying, Brahman is not experienced.
Okay.
So happiness is not experienced. So happiness is not an experience, but every experience is happiness, Brahman. The experience means knowledge. Knowledge means consciousness. Okay, knowledge means thought. Every thought is consciousness. But consciousness is not the thought.
That's what I'm trying to say, that like sometimes when my attention is really, really, really fully on something, there's no longer any sense of knowledge of something.
That means whenever you're focused on a given thing, totally focused, then you have an experience. We feel that everything remains dissolved. There's pleasure.
Yeah,
there's pleasure. It's a fraction of fullness.
It does seem that kind of experience, which we've all had.
That's experience. Pleasure is experience.
Yeah.
Okay, see, I tell you, anything which, if any one thing holds your attention, it can be sunset, it can be sunrise, it can be beautiful green lawn, it can be even the next aunt's neighbor, woman who walked this morning, okay, very nice, talking to her, and any of the flowers, anything, it looked very beautiful, the dark green leaves of the tall tree and the very close to the blue sky, green and blue, two colors together. Suddenly we go and see anything which holds attention, captivates attention completely for a length of time. I tell you, help you resolve the whole jagat. Why? It first puts you down. It says that you are not there first. It knocks you off. You are knocked off. If mind goes and sits somewhere, you are knocked off. Once you are knocked off, jagat is knocked off. Come back then. Then you say, wow, what an experience.
Mm-hmm.
This is what is all the modern meditation techniques people do with. That's why people go and pay a lot of money. Okay, it's all temporary kick they get. Just, you see, nothing. To have the experience of pleasure, you have to be knocked off for a length of time. Some people who choose to go to pub, okay, to knock off themselves. Some people do something else. Why it's attract? Why it is tempting? Because the pleasure. What is pleasure? You should be there for some time. Aham buddhi, aham asmi, iti jnanam, okay? And I am should be, you should forget yourself. It's not forgetting yourself.
Well, not give off from me.
That is pleasure. That pleasure is a state of mind. Every time you are knocked off, Jagat is knocked off, what is there is a state of mind, a pleasure, fraction of fullness. That is what it's like. No, it's like giving a drop of honey and you ask, we like it. We like one whole bottle of honey, okay? And you give only one drop and it is very tasty. So we say that, no, like that we ask, we think, okay, you go for pleasure again and again, thinking that you will have the fullness of it.
Yeah.
So how do I get from a drop to the full bottle of honey? How do I move from a drop of honey to the full bottle of honey?
Don't ask for, okay? If you ask for it through the drop of honey, if you want to see the whole bottle of honey, it's not possible. Okay. It is fraction of fullness. It's a pleasure. Any experience is fraction of fullness. That's why every experience is fullness, but fullness is not experience. Not as experienced. Do I make sense?
Yes.
I make sense for me, but I'm asking you whether it makes sense for me. You don't think I have any doubt about it.
According to Dayananda, then the sampradaya business, that means Swamini, to be able to teach the way she does, has to be very clear. Mm. And it's just that. And basically she's saying that if she's a good teacher, then that clarity will be available to each person, and in that sense, it's just the words. In that sense, it's the words. Because she says she's only got words to do it with. I suppose someone, but there are other people who go and touch you and, you know, things like that. I mean, there must be other mystical ways of doing it, but.
Yeah,